welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
I'll tell you, there's something about, something about lifting up that cup and just realizing what Jesus did for us. You know, nobody can ever say in the human race that nobody's ever done anything for me. Somebody has done the most wonderful thing for you, for every single person on this planet. And it's the most wonderful thing that anybody could ever do for anyone. And that's what we have. That's what we've seen in what Jesus has done in the gospel. And I'm so glad. I'm so glad I see it. I'm so glad I know it. I'm glad you know it. Praise God. And we are here to celebrate that this morning. Well, we're going to start off in a passage in Matthew. It says, "Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week, began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you.' So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word." And this is really what we're celebrating today. We're celebrating that empty tomb. We're celebrating the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead. The only founder of any religion who's ever been raised from the dead is Jesus Christ. He is the risen Lord, the risen Savior. And it is pretty powerful, even as we look at this story again, to think what was in the hearts and the minds of the disciples and the women there. They'd heard Jesus say this, but here it is. It came to pass. The tomb is empty, and they know they didn't steal the body. They know something has happened. Jesus is risen. And boy, as I've preached Easter sermons throughout the years, there's so many wonderful truths that you can springboard from this great truth of the resurrection as it relates to our lives. And this morning, just as I'm just preparing this week and thinking about the resurrection and what it means, I was brought back to some scriptures, and I'm just believing that this is going to help you as you're reading other scriptures in the New Testament as it relates to the resurrection. Because as you do, you come across these scriptures, and sometimes they can seem a little bit, maybe a little bit vague or blind to us. But here's what I'm referring to. Ephesians 2, 4 through 7. "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved and raised up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Jesus Christ." He made us alive together with Christ, and he raised us up together. In other words, we don't just celebrate the fact that Jesus has been raised from the dead, but we're also celebrating not only his resurrection, but our resurrection with him. When he was raised, we were raised. And again, we kind of read some of these scriptures and we kind of go, what? That's 2,000 years ago. How could I have been raised when he was raised 2,000 years ago? It sounds a little Twilight Zone-ish, you know? If I could go back in time, and I could go back to the cross, the resurrection, would I see myself there? Well, you wouldn't exactly see yourself there, but what you would see, if you could see into the realm of the Spirit and you could see what it looked like in the realm of the Spirit when God placed upon him the iniquity of us all, you would see your iniquity there, yes. He died for the sins of the whole world. The present, you know, past, present, future. He died for all the sins of all the world. And so what did happen there was when he was raised, that's when your sin was paid for. It was a done deal 2,000 years ago. That's why the gospel is good news. It's telling you the great news, the great work that Jesus did already. He paid the price for your sin. All we're doing is receiving. We're just receiving that gift. We're receiving that gift of forgiveness. But there is a powerful truth as we look at the Resurrection Sunday and Jesus being raised from the dead, of scriptures that talk about this event as it relates to us. That not only was he raised, but we were raised together with him. And again, our tagline at Door of Life is where faith meets real life. We don't want to get all ethereal to where you're kind of going, what? But we're going to try to bring that concept down home this morning. And as you look at the resurrection of Jesus this morning, you're going to see your resurrection this morning. You're going to see how his resurrection was your resurrection, that you were made alive together with Christ. You were raised up together and made to sit together with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So this morning, we're going to just minister along the lines of, we're called Raised with Christ, okay? We're celebrating the resurrection this morning, and we're celebrating our resurrection with Christ as we were raised with Christ. So what do we mean by being raised with Christ? What is the scripture talking about as it relates to Jesus being raised from the dead? Well, first of all, as it relates to being raised with Christ, there is our inward resurrection. Something happened when Jesus was raised from the dead. When you believed on Jesus Christ, you know, you all have your backstory of when you came to the Lord. This cross, at some point, it made sense. You know, maybe it sounded fairy tale-ish. Maybe you were running away from it for years. Whatever your story is, at some point, and it takes the Holy Spirit to reveal to you your own sinful condition. Man is proud by nature. Man is proud by nature and it doesn't believe he needs God or a Savior and self-justifies himself on every level. So it takes the Holy Spirit to say, whoa, no, I'm a sinner. I'm not okay. I need a Savior. And when you experience the Holy Spirit revealing to you your own sinful condition, then the cross makes sense. Oh yeah, if I don't have sin, I don't need forgiveness. But if I do have sin, I need forgiveness. And when that happened, when that moment in your life happened and you said, yes, my sin was on that cross. Jesus, come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I receive you. At that moment in time, there was a retroactive resurrection that took place on the inside of you. At that moment in time, a miracle happened on the inside of you. This is what the scripture says. It says, but God, and this is, again, the same scripture we just looked at. We're going to look at it with some different emphasis. But God, who's rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Now look at that. We were dead in trespasses and he made us alive. We were, everybody who's believed in Jesus at this, you know, in this room, you were dead and now you're alive. But it's not talking about your physical body. It must be talking about something else. You were dead in trespasses and sins, but now he's made you alive. He's talking about your inward, your inward man, your inward person. Colossians 2 puts it this way, for you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He canceled out the record of charges against us, took it away by nailing it to the cross. So in other words, there was a death and there was a resurrection that happened on the inside when we trusted the mighty power of God. Something happened. Now, last week we had our baptismal service. And this is why baptism is such a powerful statement. Because when we talk kind of about this stuff, you know, our minds can have different pictures and we all kind of get the bubble above our head looks a little different all across the room when we talk about this kind of stuff. But ultimately, baptism kind of helps solidify what is happening here in this spiritual death and alive jargon. This is what's happening. When you get the picture of baptism, when a person goes down in the waters of baptism, it's like they're being buried. They're buried in that water. Their old, sinful, carnal, natural self is dying. It's like that spiritual death. You know, it's not that you're not physically alive. People can be alive physically, but they're spiritually dead. All right, we're all in that state before we receive Jesus. Just because you're dead spiritually does not mean you're dead physically. What does spiritual death mean? It means you're separated from God. There's no fellowship with God there. You're not connected to God. All right? But you're alive physically. And so what happens when you receive Jesus, you become alive on the inside. And so baptism is a picture of this inward person dying, but then coming up out of the water and being raised to a newness of life. It's a picture of resurrection of your very spirit. What happens is there is an inward resurrection. Why? You trusted in the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. That same power that raised Christ from the dead has given life to your very human spirit. You were raised together with him. That's why I call it like a retroactive resurrection. It was there. It was paid. He's just waiting for you to believe. When you believe, bang, there it is. It happened. You experienced it now, but it was actually the work was done 2,000 years ago. This is good news. And you're made alive on the inside. You were dead, and now you're alive. It is a resurrection. And this is the powerful scripture in 2 Corinthians 5:17. It gets us a little closer. It says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. The new life has begun. That's New Living Amplified. It says, therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old, previous, moral, spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. Praise God. That means you are brand new on the inside. I've heard it put this way. Jesus did not come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people live. And if you can begin to orientate in those terms, I was dead and now I'm alive. It's because I live. There's the capacity for goodness. But it starts with life. It starts with being connected and having the Spirit of God in me. This is where I start. He was raised, I was raised together with him from a place of death to a place of life. It happened. It was realized the moment I believed upon him. But that's what happened on the inside of me. Jesus told Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you must be born again. He didn't say, Nicodemus, you got to live right. He said, you got to be born again. You got to come alive in the spirit. That which is born of flesh is flesh, but that which is born of spirit is spirit. And that's what the new birth is talking about, a new birth of the Spirit, becoming alive in Christ. And so, as we're looking at that, as we're looking at what he did, we can see some amazing things. Everything changes because of this. Romans 6, 3 through 4 says, have you forgotten when you were joined with Jesus in baptism? We joined him in his death. For when we died and were buried with Christ by baptism, and just as Jesus was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. This is such an important thing too, Because a lot of times as we're looking at this new life in Christ, we go, great, I'm new, I'm alive. Like just because you're alive on the inside, again, you're alive in your spirit. You've still got the same hair color, eye color. Nothing's changed physically or physiologically. It's a work that's happened on the inside. And so a lot of times you're thinking, okay, now I'm going to live for God, but I still have a lot of the same issues, you know? I can still have a lot of the same tendencies, you know, that I had before. But yet I'm alive, and things are different. Yeah, not only did the resurrection make you brand new on the inside, but the way you live for God has been made new too. The way we live for God, it's all new. It's not the old paradigm of the law anymore. He says, let's see what we see. He said, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of God, now we also may live new lives. In other words, that same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead not only got us born again and made us new, but that's the same power that's going to help us live the new lives. In other words, the only reason you're going to have any success really in living for God is that resurrection power. Paul says here in Romans, I know we're kind of covering a lot of groundwork here, but I just want you to kind of get this in your heart. Now, when we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. The way we're living for God is completely different too. It's a complete brand new way of thinking about God and living for God. We are no longer trying to keep track of a moral code, of a moral to-do list. That's not the key. That's not what is going to make you successful and live victorious in Christ and live a victorious life. This resurrection power that has made your life new has also changed the way that we live for God. It's very, very different. In fact, if people could have successfully lived for God, the scripture is very strong. Paul says, if there had been a law given, which could have given life, righteousness would have been by the law. If you could have successfully lived for God apart from Christ and apart from the resurrection, he would have never came. When Jesus prayed that prayer, Father, if there's any other way, let this prayer pass me. The Lord would have said, yeah. Father would have said, yeah, there is another way. Just tell him to do A, B, and C. But you can't do A, B, and C. It takes faith. It takes a looking unto Jesus. It takes something bigger than that. Romans 8 puts it this way. The law of the spirit of life, we're going to find that there's two laws. That old law, we've been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that you should serve in the newness of the spirit, not in the oldness of the letter, all right? So I'm not trying to keep track of a moral to-do list in my head anymore, but I'm doing something. He says, the law of the spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus, that's that law of the spirit of life that raised Christ from the dead. This is all resurrection power stuff. The law of the spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law, that's the natural moral code, could not do because it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And on account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the spirit. For those who live according to the flesh, this is huge, those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the spirit, the things of the spirit. Say, set their mind on the things of the spirit. Living for God is about to get super simplified. It's going to go from super complicated, trying to keep track of all the moral to-dos, to a very simple way of living. And this is all that resurrection life. This is all part of the resurrection when we were raised together with Christ. What does it say? The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The moral natural law couldn't do that. It was weak through the flesh. He goes on to say that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the spirit. In other words, the righteous requirement of the law is still fulfilled in us. All right? We're not living under the law, and yet we're still fulfilling the righteous requirement of the law. It doesn't mean that because we're not living according to the law that we're lawless, that we steal, cheat, kill, you know, do all the bad stuff. No, we're fulfilling the righteous requirement of the law, but we're not doing it under the law. It's interesting, isn't it? We fulfill the righteous requirement of the law, but we're doing it in a different way. It's just a different way of living for God. And it's this different way that makes it possible to live for God. That's why it said what the law couldn't do and that it was weak through flesh. You got flesh, you got a moral code. And it just doesn't work. Now you got something else. You've got the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. How do you put that law of the Spirit of life into Christ Jesus? Those who live according to the Spirit set their minds in the things of the Spirit. There is something about you, and I, whatever stuff you're dealing with, there is something about you when you just begin to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, and you set your mind on things about spiritual things, that law of the Spirit of life goes into operation. Have you realized that in your Christian walk yet? That the times that you have been closest and most successful and victorious in your life is not marked by successful abstinences from that weight and sin that's always lived beside you. No, it's marked by your intimate face time with Jesus. And it's that face time through which the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus just flows. And it makes you free from the law of sin and death. Through the law, it's willpower. Any victory that you have in your life today as a believer has come through the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. And that's the secret. It's the great secret of victory and living victoriously in Christ. I have simplified my walk. You know, I don't have that scripture up here. It says, lay aside the weights of the sins that so easily beset you, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. And here's where we see in Colossians, if you were raised with Christ, this is what we're talking about, raised with Christ, we were, coming at it from another angle, then seek those things which are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. You died, your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. He's basically saying the same thing. Set your mind on things above. Same thing he said in verse 5. Those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. There's a setting your mind on things above that will cause the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus to reign in your life. You know, actually, you know, in Romans it goes on to say to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. It's not that you got stuff figured out. You're just spiritually minded, and life and peace is there. It's a supernatural power of the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So not only has he resurrected who we are on the inside, but he has resurrected and changed the way we live. The whole paradigm is different. I'm just looking unto Jesus. And as I'm looking unto him, there's a law that's going. It's an amazing thing. You can be struggling with stuff in your life, and all of a sudden some spiritual little thing can kind of get your curiosity and your attention. All of a sudden you're researching and you're digging in and you're finding something, and pretty soon you're just interacting with God and you're praying about something and you're walking with God. And all of a sudden, a bunch of the stuff that you're trying to overcome, is you lost track of it as you're looking unto Jesus. And the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus makes you free from the law of sin and death. It's a law. It's a spiritual law. It's very humbling. Very humbling that way, but that's the way it works. He's simplified this walk to just look unto him. I'm not in major problem-solving mode anymore. He is the finisher of my faith. I'm just looking unto him. And it's an amazing thing as you look unto him, he will give you wisdom and he'll show you stuff as you just by faith look unto him. And then praise God. Oh, yes. You realize you're just, Lord, I love you. I'm glad it's that way. You've simplified this life in God. Galatians 5, 6 through 17 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You want to get victory over the flesh? Walk in the Spirit. Begin to set your mind on things above. Make a journey, make a quest for spiritual stuff. Change the channel from the flesh channel to the Spirit channel. Just begin to walk. It's kind of like you got a decision, a choice here. Now, as we say this, verse 17 is profound here. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another so that you do not do the things that you wish. There's two you's in there, isn't there? Have you discovered that just because the born again resurrected you is alive unto God, that there's still another you you're contending with? Sounds a little schizophrenic when you read that, right? You can't do the things that you wish. What? Well, there is a pull. We live in a mortal body that has natural tendencies. You know, we talked about the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus makes me free from the law of sin and death. Where is that law of sin and death located? Paul says in Romans chapter 7, the law of sin and death, which is in my members. It's in this mortal body. The body is mortal for a reason. It's dying for a reason. It's been affected by sin. But though the outward man perishes, the inward man is renewed day by day. The physical properties that hit this outward man day after day don't even touch the resurrected work of the new creation that's on the inside of me. I've been raised with Christ. The way I look on the inside is a whole lot better than the way I look on the outside. Praise God. And as we're realizing, we've kind of got the two yous, you know? You got the outward man that they're still fighting, and this is the way the Apostle Paul put it. He just said, you know, I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I find another law in my members, the law of sin and death, warring against the law of my mind. Here's the middle ground, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin and death, which is in my members. So you got that battle going. You get this inward man, you got the law of sin and death, and the focal point is the mind. And so what's the key? For the law of the spirit of life, it's set your mind, set your mind, set your mind. This is not mind over matter. This is not be positive because I want to stir up good feelings to outweigh my bad feelings. You're dead in the water if that's what you're trying to do. When you set your mind on things above, there's a spiritual law that backs it. There's a law of the spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. And things that are above, one of the powerful things above is the word of God. When you begin to set your mind on the word of God and the things of God, there's a law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. When I set my mind on the fact that God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but he has given me a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind, I'm setting my mind on things above. I'm thinking that. It's not a happy thought to make me feel better. It's a true thought through which the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus works through and makes me free from the law of sin and death. And you experience a release on the inside through spiritual power. And spiritual things become real. You're resurrected in Christ. Not just to a new life, but to a new way of living. It's a spirit-oriented life. In the old paradigm, you know, if you're bound by weights and sins, there was a concept of repentance. I'm just going to repent from sin. I'm going to turn my back on sin and promise to never do that again. We've all been there. You're going to do it again, if that's all you're doing. In the New Testament, there's still repentance. There's still a turning away from sin. But in the New Testament, it's very, very, very different. You're not set free simply from turning away from sin. You couldn't in the Old Testament. You can't in this New Covenant. In the New Testament, it's not so much, it's the turning away from sin, but it's what you're turning toward. It's you're turning toward Jesus. I'm laying aside the weights and the sins that so easily beset me, looking unto Jesus. It's not just a remorse, oh, I promise to never do that again. You're going to do it again. You turn to Jesus and say, Jesus, I need you. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. I'm going to pursue you. My life is going to get full of spiritual things in you and quest for you. And if I turn around and I get back, I'm going to turn back into the Spirit. And that's what happens is when you begin to walk in the Spirit, you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You'll find yourself getting free from stuff and you forgot you were bound to them. And you have to go, wow, that's right, I haven't done that. And I haven't even thought about it. Wow, I haven't kept track of anything or nothing. It's just like I'm just in love with Jesus. I'm in love with God. This is really humbling, especially when you've lived for God for a while, because this doesn't change. You don't mature into a new way. No, it's the same hand in hand with Jesus that you're going to overcome everything. That law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free from the law of sin and death. Everything the law of sin and death can throw at you, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus makes you free from. And it's simple. It's just a simple walk with Jesus. He's the finisher of my faith. I like to put it this way. We kind of in the pizza parlor, you have the old alligator game with the mallet. You have to try to hit down all those heads. That's kind of the way when you try to get victory over the flesh and the weights and the sins that so easily beset you under the law, that's exactly what you're trying to do. You know, hatred, bitterness, lust, greed, you know, it's like alligator heads that you're trying to keep down all at the same time. And God just says, nope, that old paradigm is done. You know, just in my spirit, I just saw, you know, I'm put a stick of dynamite in that thing, blow it up. I'm just walking after God. I'm going to walk in the Spirit, and I won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Why is that? What practically happens? You begin to get an appetite for spiritual things. It doesn't start out right away. You're doing it by faith. But as you do it, you know, even in the negative, it works this way too. You know, people, if you're, you know, if somebody's addicted to cigarettes, let's just say you're really bound or something by that, and I'm no condemnation if you're dealing with stuff like that, but I'm just saying, you know, if I was to smoke, it would look pretty dumb because I'd be choking and hacking. I don't know how to smoke. But if I kept at it, I'd get to where I could do it without looking ridiculous and figure out some basic things. Then I'd really figure out how to get good at it, and then I'd get to where I kind of like it, and then I'd get to where I kind of need it. You know, the flesh works that way too. You know, spiritual things will work that way too. You'll get it. You might open the Bible. What? I haven't seen this thing in years. You might choke on this thing, you know, a few things. Start trying to read some of these things. Ah, it's not like setting me free. It's not. You keep pursuing God. And it's not just reading the Word of God. It's getting some godly music, some things that are encourage your spirit. Surround yourself with spiritual things. People who have like precious faith, people are going to put into you, not take out of you. And people are going to encourage your faith. People, music, work. There's a lot of different ways we get spiritually minded. And just prayer, too. You just, by faith, begin to pray. And sometimes it can seem cold, and other times it's going to be, wow, where did the time go? You know? But the thing of it is, the victory is, I'm keeping my eyes on Jesus. He's the one who began this good work in me, and he's the one who's going to be faithful to complete it as I'm looking unto him. So it changes the way we live. And then not only is there an inward resurrection, but there is an outward resurrection that we will experience. We've experienced the inward resurrection, but there is a coming outward resurrection. The scripture says in 1 Thessalonians, and now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who've died so that you don't grieve like people who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised again to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. He goes on to say, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God. First, the Christians who have died will rise from their graves. Then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then will we be with the Lord forever. So encourage each other with these words. There is coming a resurrection of the believers that is going to be a physical resurrection like the Lord's resurrection. This is interesting. You know, when we received Jesus Christ as our Lord, we experienced that inward resurrection. When he comes back to receive us, we'll experience an outward resurrection. Something amazing is going to happen. Now, he was telling them that because there were a lot of people who were mourning because they thought that because their loved one died, that they missed being with Jesus. He wanted to say, not at all. They died, they're in heaven with Jesus. In fact, he's going to bring them back. And there is going to be a resurrection. Now, when you look at I know this scripture sounds pretty far out. He's going to raise us up together. You got to remember, though, God who made the first man from the dust of the earth is very capable of this event. This is not too hard for him. In fact, for probably every intellectual objection you could think of, he's probably got 10,000 more that you don't even have the vocabulary for, and he's got those covered too. All right? But this is going to happen. And you got to understand, when Paul said this, he wasn't kind of saying, oh, sweetheart, it's okay. I'm just telling you this to feel better. He didn't. He said this with great authority. He said in verse 15, he says, we tell you this directly from the Lord. Wow. I mean, we know all scripture is inspired by God anyway, but within that framework, when he says, we got a word for you, I got something God told me to tell you. I'm not saying this to make you feel better. This is going to happen. There's going to be a resurrection from the dead. And Jesus is going to bring those who have died with him. In other words, it's not just Jesus coming back. It's all heaven coming back with Jesus. What's going to happen? Those believers who have been with him are going. Jesus will stop in the clouds. Those believers will not stop in the clouds. They're coming all the way back to earth to the point of where their mortal body remains or atoms may be. And at that point, the Holy Ghost, this is what the scripture says. I'll just get to the scripture. If Christ is in you, the body's dead because of sin, but the spirit's alive because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Do you know that when a person dies and goes to be with Jesus, they don't lose the Holy Spirit? Jesus said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit and he's going to remain with you forever. The Spirit of God is in your spirit and he is there forever. In fact, when a Christian dies, it's not just their spirit leaving their body. It's their spirit and the Holy Spirit together leaving their body. There is a companionship of the presence of God even in death for a believer. There's a camaraderie that you almost unconsciously experience now that you experience for a believer. It's you and the Holy Ghost together. So Jesus comes back. Those believers who've died, they don't stop at the clouds. They come all the way to the earth. And the point of those remains, they become brand new. God makes them a brand new on the outside. That's the outward resurrection. That's where they get a brand new body, a brand new physical body. 1 Corinthians says, behold, I tell you a mystery, we'll not all sleep, but we'll all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and the mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying, as it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. In other words, our redemption, we realize it only partial. We got the inward resurrection, which is absolutely vital for fellowship with God and overcoming things and having expression in the earth. But it's not completed yet. There is coming another part where our very physical body will be changed. The Apostle Paul puts it this way. He says, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will, future event, transform our lowly body, that's the mortal one, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Jesus has a glorified body. We got a glimpse of it a little bit after the resurrection. We saw that he could appear before men. He could vanish. He could eat fish. He could move in and out of the natural and the spiritual realm, this glorified body. Amazing. The periodic tables will be completely different than they are today. What God can do and what this glorified body can do. And our body's going to be fashioned like in his glorious body. It's a physical body that is not mortal. It's not perishing day by day. It's just as the inward man is renewed day by day, that glorious body is renewed day by day. It's in sync with your inward man. That'll be an amazing thing, won't it? That scripture says, so that you can't do the things that you will, when you've got the glorified body, you can always do the things that you will. Because your outward man will be in perfect harmony with your inward man. That's what we're waiting for. That's going to be the final end game as far as really experiencing the fullness of the resurrection. We were raised with Christ on the inside, and there's a resurrection as a result of his resurrection that's coming for us. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world doesn't know us because it didn't know him. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Praise God. So Paul goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, if the dead do not raise, then Christ isn't risen. If Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, you're still in your sins. Then we also who have fallen, then those who have fallen asleep or who have died in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most pitiable. Thank God for the first resurrection. But it doesn't stop at the first resurrection. And if we just live our lives as though the first resurrection was good enough, wrong. We should be pitied. It's a right thing to pity you. Paul is saying, eternal life or bust. If in this life only, yeah, but you know so much, but if this is our only, if this is it, forget it. That's the whole essence of John 3:16. Not to start up a Christian religion. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. When we begin to live like we're living beyond this life, it'll change the way we live. We can go from pitiable-looking Christians to excited, resurrected Christians, knowing this life. But Paul got to the point where he said, look, persecutions and afflictions await me, and none of these things move me. I don't even count my life dear to me that I might finish my course of joy. Paul wasn't hoping he'd go to heaven when he died. Paul was, in his eyes, could see it. And he was living down here with the big picture. This is big picture stuff. And God gives it to us with authority. You are resurrected in Christ on the inside. And there's a resurrection coming on the outside that's going to put you in complete harmony with your entire being. He loves you. He's for you. And we're going to revisit the last scripture here, the first scripture we looked at. Kind of looking at the same scripture from different angles. But let's revisit it. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. He raised us up together. He made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. That's all great. That's all wonderful. But all that is a means to this end. That. I want that word that to be like fill the room. That. He did all that in the ages to come. He might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. What's the glory of the resurrection? We're living forever and ever and ever. I say this to you by the authority of the word. I don't say this to make you feel better. I say it because it's true. The resurrection life that's on the inside of you will live on forever and ever and ever. And if you're here, when he comes back, it's going to change your physical body. We have great cause to be very, very joyful this morning. We're living with him. And what's in our future? Exceeding riches of grace and kindness. That's your future. You know, if you know Jesus, this is as bad as it gets right now for you. If you don't know Jesus, this is as good as it gets right now for you. Thank God we know Jesus. Thank God he came. He didn't do that to start up a religion. He didn't do it to make bad people good. He did it to make dead men live and come alive for eternity. That's why he did it. He loves us. He's going to show us kindness. What does that again look like? I can't totally articulate what verse 7 is going to look like in real life totally. We only know in part, so we can't totally expound on some of this. You know, the closest thing that I get to it when I think of this stuff, I see myself, whatever, 10 million years from now in the ages to come, and he's showing me the riches of his grace. I think of it when I think of my daughter, Abby, watching the fireworks. And she sees the fireworks and goes, wow, that's the best one yet. And she sees the next one. No, that's the best one yet. Wow. No, Dad, no, that one really is the best one. It can't get any better than that. I think we're going to be doing that. Wow. How good can you get? How kind, how gracious, how merciful. Oh, his kindness. In the ages, the eons. Eons, that's longer than this body can live. It's eternity or bust. We got to think that way. Paul wasn't trying to win a social movement to that we were right and you're wrong. This is about making dead men live. The way of the transgressor is going to perish. Stuff that we argue the morality over, it won't even exist. So don't get caught up in it. We're here with his agenda to make dead people live, right? Once the Holy Spirit gets in you, the Spirit of truth, he'll do a lot of the heavy lifting for you. Our job is to get the Spirit of truth in people. Let them know God loves them. This is good news. Amen? Praise God. So we're raised with Christ. There's an inward resurrection. When I believe in Jesus, something happens on the inside. Jesus called it the new birth. You're born again. You can look at some technical things. You were translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. You became a new creation in Christ. The old passed away. Behold, all became new. The Holy Spirit came to live on the inside of your spirit. There was a resurrection that baptism represents. You died and you're alive again. You know, sometimes, you know, that exhortation, return to your first love. There's something that when you first get it, it's like, wow, I was dead and I'm alive and I realize I'm alive. You know, it's that first, and then you kind of bump into your natural man and tendencies for a while and you kind of more identify who you are over here and you can kind of lose track of who you discovered you were in God. And he'll say, return to your first love. What was your first love? I love you, Jesus. You don't have a bunch of scripture. You don't have a bunch of knowledge. You don't have a bunch of, you don't even know enough scripture to be proud or intellect. You know, you don't even, you can't even have a spiritual ego yet. You don't even know anything to trip you up. All you know is Jesus loves me. This I know. And there's a first love. And he said, return back to your first love. Just look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. That's the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. Go back there. There's an inward resurrection that puts you there, and that's where we live. That's the new way of living, face to face with Jesus. And then there's going to be an outward resurrection. That inward resurrection came when we received Jesus. There's an outward resurrection that's coming when he comes to receive us. Then we're going to be changed on the outside. This mortal must put on immortality. These aren't grieving card, feeling good words. This is truth. And I believe it and I live it. And he says, encourage one another with these words. In other words, he's saying, let these words encourage you. Don't let them just make you feel better. Let them go deep into your spirit and put something in your spirit and encourage your spirit. This is you. This is your life. This is where you're going. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for resurrection life, that we were raised together with you, raised with Christ. And Father, I just pray for each one this morning, oh Lord, that we would just get that sense, Lord, that same power that raised you from the dead, Lord Jesus, that we celebrate this morning lives in us. And we've been made brand new on the inside. We're not trying to be good anymore. We are alive and we are simply looking unto you. We are living for you. We're hungering and thirsting after you. If you were raised with Christ, then seek those things which are above. Set your mind on things above. Father, help us to simplify this resurrected life on the inside, this simplified life of simply following after you, Jesus, simply allowing our attention, oh, to be focused on you, to look in your wonderful face, to allow you to finish this good work you've begun in us, Lord. Help us to see that the answers are simply by looking into your face, into your word. And as we do that, we'll have ears to hear what your spirit says on those specifics, on that wisdom, on what to do, on how to do it, all that other stuff. Help us, Lord, to live that resurrected, simplified life in you. And Lord, we eagerly wait, like the Apostle Paul said, for the return of our Lord Jesus. We are excited. We live knowing that our lives are so beyond this. The hope we have is just not this life. It is so much bigger. It truly is eternal life. We thank you. We allow those words to encourage us this morning, to give us courage in the face of the things we deal with down here, that our life is big and it's big in you. And our future is a future of kindness in the eons to come of your mercy and grace. We give you thanks, Jesus. Thank you for dying on the cross for our sins. Thank you, Father, for raising him from the dead. Thank you for raising us up together with him, Father. And for all the hope and the promise that means to us, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for raising me up together with Jesus, for making us alive together. I'm alive today, not because I'm perfect, but because I was a dead man who was made alive. And with your help, with your grace, the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus, I can satisfy the righteous requirement of the law. Not by walking after the law, but after the Spirit. Not an oldness of the letter, but a newness of spirit. A look in your direction, Jesus. Seeking those things above that unleashes your resurrection power and gives me the ability to live free. Thank you, Jesus. You're coming back to receive me And as you do, I will be changed. My body will look like your body. Thank you for the promise of eternal life with your kindness and your grace. Jesus, today's my day. I'm calling on your name. Many things I don't understand. One thing I choose to believe, you love me. I receive that love now. That was my sin on the cross. You died for it. I receive your forgiveness. Be Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God.